cultivate diligence in all that you do. You need to be the most punctual at work, the kindest at work. You need to be people who resolve problems along the way. In fact, would you write law number two? Here it is. Cultivate the ability to work without needing constant supervision. If you can cultivate the ability to work without the need for somebody constantly supervising you, you are gold. You are pure gold to that company.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Today, part two of a message entitled, The Truth About Money. When we left off yesterday, Pastor Wayne was teaching us the importance of cross-training. Well, today we'll learn to understand God's laws of sowing and reaping. It's a simple concept, but one that a lot of us seem to miss. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, The Truth About Money.
I'm going to talk to you about two checkbooks. All right, listen very carefully. Anna and I have one checkbook. After we've decided how much we have to pay out every month, I have one checkbook for the fixed expenses. I don't use this checkbook for anything else because I look at my salary, it goes in there, and I have enough for this. So that's all set. So I put down that budget, whether it's rent or utilities, food, eat home food, not eat out food, tithe, everything. I list that down. The money in this checkbook is dedicated for that. Nothing else now. You don't use that for ice cream, Cold Stone, go to pizza. No. This is dedicated for our fixed expenses. Nothing else. Then I pick up another checkbook. It's called a special account. That's like the family bank. Now you can put it in savings if you want to, but when you don't have that much, it's like you get a 1.5% for savings and it's hard to pull stuff out and put it in. So I just get another checkbook, it's fine. And then any extra money, not salary, that goes in checkbook one. Now we're talking about checkbook two. It's a two-tiered system. The extra money goes in checkbook two. Someone gives you money for birthday, what checkbook does it go in, one or two?
Two.
So you get a tax return, goes into one or two?
Two.
If you put it in one, it skews this. Because you think you got tons of money and you spend like crazy and then you don't have enough for utilities or whatever. This is dedicated just for that. I'll tell you, it'll help you because you'll always have money for the stuff that you need it for. Because you have a consistent salary coming in. If you've got tons more, well, you can take a portion of that and put it in here. And if this grows, you can put it into a mutual fund or something. But this is step one and step two. Step one, checkbook one. Step two, checkbook two. So if someone sends you money, like a cousin or something, what checkbook does it go into? You find money, no, two. You find money on the road, where does it go?
Two,
that's right. Not to other places. That's right. So you get a bonus at work. Which one? One or two?
Two.
All right. Now, if you want to go out to eat, which checkbook does that money come from? One or two?
Two.
Who's saying? You're going to sit outside in a little while. All right. It goes in two. Don't let them handle finances in your house. It goes in two. Now, if you have to buy a new refrigerator, which one does it come out of, one or two?
Two.
Okay, we're going to go back to special ed. It comes out of two. So you're putting money in here because you've got extra money. Even if the shocks on your car go out, which one?
Two.
That's right. He say, but what if I want to buy a camera, an iPod, and I don't have enough money in two? I go to one? No. What do? You don't buy it. Yeah, it sounds real simple, but I tell you, you catch this, it will help you so much. I can't buy it? No. Just chill and enjoy it until you build enough. So then you say, no. Why is that so important? Because there's going to be, listen carefully, there's going to be other areas of your life that you're going to want something, but you can't afford it. You can't maintain it in the future. It will eat you alive. It'll mess up your life, your soul, your family. It could be an illicit relationship. And you look at it and say, but I want this so much, but I know I can't afford it. It's not right. It's going to mess up my future. You will have the discipline to say, no. You'll be able to overcome an uncontrollable urge that would go into other people, will not come into you. Where did you get that fortitude and that strength and the ability to stay stalwart? Over here, when God taught me about the principles of dealing with money and not violating it, because the way you handle money will be what determines whether or not you'll be able to handle the true riches of life. Can I tell you how important it is? So important. So make sure you catch that. So you have a two-tiered system. So checkbook one or two. If someone gives you money for birthday, where's it go?
Two.
Someone gives you an extra check, where's it go?
Two.
You get a bonus at church. You get a bonus at church. You get a bonus at work, where's it go?
Two.
Pastor Elwin gives you money, where's it go?
Two.
Oh, he not going to give you no money. I fool you. No, you go. So, yes, goes in the number two. If you eat out in a restaurant, which one?
Two.
All right, not one, it's dedicated. I tell you, then you've got always have enough for what is most important. Real crucial. Now, here's the thing that skews everything is a credit card. Once you insert a credit card, it messes everything up. So should we not have? No. You can have a credit card because in today's society, you need to have that kind of credit. But what do? When you have a credit card, are you going to pay for the normal stuff like utilities and food at Safeway? No, you do not use this credit card for that stuff. You mostly will use it for checkbook number two kinds of stuff. Isn't that right? So when you get your monthly bill from your credit card, which checkbook do you pay it out of?
Two.
That's right. And if there's any month where the bill comes in and you don't have enough money and checkbook number two to pay this off in its totality, so you just have to pay the minimum or half, and it depletes this checkbook number two, every month, if I cannot pay my credit card in full, I put it in the drawer until my checkbook number two has enough and I can pay it off in its totality. Then I use it again. Don't keep going on it every month. It will actually destroy you because you think you've got money and you don't, and you're spending money you don't have. Do you understand the danger of that in other relational areas when you start spending stuff that's not yours? You start using authority that's not yours. You start saying things about knowledge that is not yours. You start taking things that's not yours. You expect things you shouldn't have expected. And it's going to mess you up to the point where you will start to stress and you will make dumb decisions and it'll snowball on you. Most of America is in that situation right now. But I want you to catch these three principles and these three laws. And if you'll catch the two-tiered system, it will help you. Mark my words, it will help you so much. Checkbook one is dedicated to your monthly utilities and rent and fixed expenses, and your salary has to equal that or more. If not, make the changes. If you got lots more, you can put it over in checkbook number two and just transfer it over, but you stay that way, and it will help you. I tell you, your stress will go down, you'll get out of debt, and you'll be so happy. It will help you immensely. So you say, okay, what if I understand the truth and I know, but I still have to now, I've cut as much as I can, but I need to increase my income. What do I do? Here it is, principle number two. Cultivate diligence in all that you do. Cultivate diligence, which means a work ethic, working hard. Are you trustworthy at your job? Are you able to be punctual at your job? And by the way, students, learn punctuality in college. Don't go late to school all the time because you're developing something. You're being trustworthy, and especially in money. When you start to develop diligence at your job or place of employment where you get your salary, then you become someone that people can depend on. They know that you'll be honest. They know that you'll make wise decisions, and it will help you in the area of promotion and finances in the long run. Because the Bible says promotion cometh neither from the east nor the west. Promotion cometh from the Lord. Let's read what it says here in Romans 12 about diligence. Go. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Please listen. If there should be any group in the whole world that should be known for their diligence and work ethic, ethical standards, honesty, punctuality, and excellence in what they do. It should be whom? Christians. But oftentimes, it is the opposite. Christians are the worst. I don't know why, but we think God will give us grace or whatever, but we are not that trustworthy. My wife and I had this guy come in. He wanted to do our roof because he said, I'm a Christian. I'll do your roof for you. We needed our roof done. Did such a terrible job. It leaked, ruined our ceilings. We had to replace our whole ceiling. Another guy came in, Christian, wanted to do our tile in our tub in our bathroom. We did such a terrible job, we had to bring in another guy to take all of that out. It was so crooked. Then we had another guy work on our floors. It was so bad, I put carpet over the floors when he was done. And so when someone would come and say, I'd like to work on your house, I'm a Christian, I'd forget it, get out of here. No Christians work on my house, no more. And what kind of person? Pagan. I want the worst pagan in the world. Because at least I know it'll get done right. And it'll be done on time. And what they quoted, I'll pay and nothing more. But sometimes Christians say, well, God said to do this for you and do that. Oh, by the way, it's going to cost you this much more and this much more. And God said nothing. Get out of here, Christians. Really, if you're an employer, I bet you'll agree with me, good labor and good workers are so hard to find anymore. It is so difficult, but if there should be anybody that the employers line up for, should be Christians. It should be the fact where when someone says, that guy's a Christian, I want him. Well, you don't even know if he's trained. Oh, doesn't matter. I know, because if he doesn't know something, he'll figure it out and he'll resolve problems along the way. He'll do it in a great way. He'll bring a culture to our company that will be buoyant and exciting, and his attitude and his team building skills, I know will be great. If Christian, bring him in. Bring him in. That's how it should be. But often it's the other way around. The what? Christian? Forget it. Forget it. They go after pagans. We got to do it better, folks. So cultivate diligence in all that you do. You need to be the most punctual at work, the kindest at work. You need to be people who resolve problems along the way. In fact, would you write law number 2? Here it is. Cultivate the ability to work without needing constant supervision. Boy, if you can cultivate the ability to work without the need for somebody constantly supervising you, you are gold. You are pure gold to that company. That you know what needs to be done, you'll figure it out, and it'll be done so well. You'll know how to communicate along the way so that you're not going off on a strange, skewed path and find out later it wasn't the right path. There's some people say, but you know how much I worked on this? Well, that's wrong. You can work as long as you want. It's wrong. Run as fast as you can, but if you're wrong in running in the opposite direction, it doesn't matter how fast you get there. So you communicate, you understand, you check along the way, and you're moving without the need of constant supervision. Good night. We'll promote you all the way to the top. That's what companies and people are needing. And so as you develop that, you understand the law, oh, it'll help you so much. In fact, you know who the best examples of this will be? The ant. That's right, the ant. And the book of Proverbs, let's read what it says about the ant. Go. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief or ruler, prepares her food in the summers and gathers her provisions in the harvest. Yeah. You haven't seen any like lunas or managers for ants like, that's right. You know, you don't see ants. They just all in a line. They just kind of do. They just, for some reason, whether it's a guy ant or girl ant, they all, I don't know how to tell them apart, but they just do their thing. They just know. And Solomon says, see what they do? That's how you should be. You just know what needs to be done, and you do it. And let me give you the third principle and the third law in the truth about money. Here's the third principle. Number 3, would you write down, now understand God's law of sowing and reaping. Understand, now there's a real important point here. I need you to catch it. Let's read what it says, because sometimes we think, this is so un-money. Like giving is going to help me increase. No, I tell you, here it is. Giving is cross-training at its best. Let's read what it says. Go. There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, yet it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. You know what God's saying? Here's the law of sowing and reaping. Greed is keeping everything you get. So when God gives to me, I call it a blessing. Here it is. But when God is able to give through me, He changes the world. When God gives to me, and that's as far as it gets, I call it a blessing. Oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. But when God is able to give through me, that's how lives get changed. And if God can give through you, how many millions do you want Him to give through you? He's got all of the wealth of heaven to give through you. But we have to be able to steward it down here. So you understand the law of sowing and reaping. It's incredibly important. It's like God is going to give so much to us, like seed, but there's going to be a certain bag that's seed, not for the eating, but seed for the sowing, for tomorrow's harvest. That's the seed here that we give, that we allow to go through us. That's for tomorrow's harvest. But if I eat all the seed I get, you will always have struggle with a bigger harvest tomorrow. But if you understand this and you let it go through you, you'll have a huge harvest. Some time ago, I was planting a shrub at my daughter's house in Oregon, and I made a little hole and put it in there, and the thing died after about 3 months. It looked pretty ugly, so I pulled it up, put another one in. It wasn't dry, it was just ugly, something like it became alien. And so I threw it away, put another one in there. 3 months later, that one turned to an alien too. Put another one there because that's where I wanted the shrub, and that one did too. Finally, I talked to someone that was a plant specialist, and they were talking about something I'd heard before, but they checked the soil, and it's got a lot of clay in it, so it doesn't drain. And they said, this kind of plant needs well-drained soil, so the water doesn't just fill up in a bowl, and it developed something called botrytis, where it takes in too much water. But if it's in a well-drained area, water will come through. It pulls what it needs to, but no more than it needs to, and gives the rest away, as it were, and it's healthy and fruitful. But if it keeps all the water it has and it fills up, it has this disease called botrytis, and it kills it because it holds on to too much. It should have let some go through it. And then I thought, I bet that's like a bunch of us Christians. We're botrytis people. Because we keep everything we get. But God's law of sowing and reaping talks about that. Here's the law. Would you write down law number 3? That goes along with that principle. Here it is. Tithing will have lifelong benefits that affects everything I do. Tithing. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, God says, and test me in this, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. And then I'll rebuke the devourer for you so it will not destroy the fruits of the ground. Tithing is the ability to let some of that which God gives to me to go through me. And it keeps me healthy. You say, is that important? Oh, good night. More important than you'll ever realize. In 2 ways. Number 1, people say, well, giving, that's hard. No, we do not have a problem with giving. None of us do. Think about it. We give every day. You give to McDonald's, you give to Walmart, you give to Consolidated Theaters, you give to all kinds of stuff. And what's the problem? The problem is we give to things we feel are important to us. So how can I learn to give to God? By considering God a lot more important than we have. Because when He is very important, then you'll begin to understand. I want to allow some of what He gives to me to run through me so that I'll have a larger harvest. So you increase the priority of God in your life. Because if I don't give, then I've not prioritized. It's very important. The second thing is, When I just have God give to me and it stops, then I get botrytis. But if I let it go through, it gives me an important discipline for future things. Watch this. I learned that with money. Later on, someone is going to say a word to me that's very hurtful. You know what I learned back there? A discipline that just is natural now in my life. It doesn't take a hold of me. It runs through me. I'm able to let things go that I would have normally held on to. There's a betrayal. I don't be offended for 5 years. I let it run through me. And things that come that would have tripped so many other people, words, betrayals, letters, criticism, critiques, all kinds of things, I just start to let it flow through me a lot more. Where did you learn that ability, that discipline? Way over here with money. See, this is the truth about money. Money gives you the boot camp for life. You violate this, you struggle there. You keep this, the principles and the laws, you'll find life is very different. But isn't tithing an Old Testament thing? It's New Testament as well. The last scripture, Jesus is speaking and he says, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. Now you'll tithe every little bit on mint and dill and cumin, but you miss the weightier provisions of the law like justice and mercy and faithfulness." Now watch this. "These things you should have done without neglecting the other." So tithing, is that Old Testament? It's new. Well, we got better stuff in the New Testament like love. You do that too, without neglecting the other. Tithing is both and, not either or. Why? Because it's a principle. It's not, well, how much can you give? It's a principle of sowing and reaping because it's going to affect your marriage. It's going to affect your children. It's going to affect your employment. It's going to affect everything about you. Because if you are not a person who understands this, you'll be at a job, someone will say something, a leader will say something, your boss will say something, and you'll just be offended. That's just wrong. That's just offensive. That really offended me. I don't care if you're a Christian. If I'm a boss and I said something to you and I didn't mean to really maliciously hurt you, but you took it as an offense, after two or three of those, I'm ready to get rid of you. Yeah, I don't care how good of a worker you are, because you're going to destroy the culture of my company. And I'll just wait for a time when it's time for you to go. But if you're someone who understands the principle of sowing and reaping, and you get something, you let it flow through you, you let it flow through. It's like, no big deal. Just let it go. And then when that boss sees that kind of person that can let it go through, say, that's the one I want. Because that person has the skills to be a leader. What you have in money is an absolutely critical boot camp for the rest of life. And when God sees you faithful here, he'll give you the true treasures of heaven. And when you do, and you receive those, you'll hear God say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Because that's the truth about money. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to pray and then allow you to go be careful of the roads a little bit and be patient with one another as we go. Look out for the ark as it goes down the road. You got animals in it. Lord, thank you so much for your love and grace. Help us to be a people that constantly honor you and understand that if we're trustworthy in worldly wealth, we'll be able to be trustworthy in the true riches of heaven that you want to deposit into the church. And sometimes I wonder why the church doesn't flow with some of these eternal kinds of riches, like authority or oversight or influence. It may be because we haven't gotten it down in the boot camp area yet. So teach us that and help us to see how cross-training affects everything of life. Help us to be faithful there. Take these principles and these laws and commit them to our lives so that we will be a people who understand the truth about money. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank him with a clap offering, would you? Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled The Truth About Money by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.